I don't serve the Lord because I have to. I serve the Lord because I want to. I get to. How about you? Amen. I appreciate. I never expected when to be in a pulpit someday. I just was thankful to Jesus and said, God, what can I do for you? You know, I was one of the least people you would expect to see in a pulpit back in the day, let alone coming into a church, you know. But God in His mercy saved me. And I've been excited about Jesus ever since. I've been a new creation. And man, truly, old things have passed away. All things have become new. And it's like, wow, my eyes were opened. My heart's eyes were opened. And I begin to see things differently. I started to enjoy the things of God. I started to love the Word of God, the Bible. I started to love fellowship with God's people. You know what I'm talking about, guys, right? When the light is on, amen, in somebody's home, you're going to want to have company, amen? And that's exactly what happens and when you're born again. See, God didn't call us just to add new to the old or to improve upon the old product or to patch things up. Amen? The world is offering you a solution of, well, you just chant these things or you listen to these subliminal tapes or you just have positive confession. And, you know, I believe in positive confession, but I believe confessing the Word of God. Amen. And not just confessing, well, I want a new Cadillac or whatever. Amen. Maybe an SUV, but not a Cadillac. But, you know, so much of the gospel today has been shifted away from its original purpose and meaning. And the messages that we're hearing today, instead of being Christ-centered, they're man-centered. How many know this is not about us, really? This is about the Lord, you know that. But a lot of the gospel you hear today is all about how you can have it all now. And I say it often here, but there are no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. Amen? Can't take it with you. But when you can't, what you can keep is that what you've done in obedience to the Lord and His will for your life, living out the purpose for which God created you. And so I don't know about you, but that sounds like a better deal. You know, we get new toys, we get new things, and after a few weeks, months, maybe a couple years, you know, where are they today? I talked about this before, but I remember getting music equipment back in the day, you know, and even guitars I've owned and amps and different things, toys and, you know, stereo wars. We had stereo wars back. I don't know if you guys did that, but we had stereo wars where who's got the bigger and the badder stereo and the louder speakers. And yeah. I had the Kenwood 777s. Anybody have those? Yeah. Now I'm dating myself. Yeah, what is that, right? So, but then, yeah, Bose 901s, yeah, but you know, those things would start to distort after you got so loud with them, so I don't know. I didn't buy into the Bose. Yeah. But you know, it was stuff that you thought was going to make you happy or fulfill you or satisfy you. And I can't tell you where that stuff is at today. It's all gone. It may be sitting on a dusty shelf somewhere in a pawn shop. I don't know. It might be in Pierce County landfill because I used to live there. Not in the landfill, but in Pierce County. But my life was in the landfill. Let's put it that way. Because I had my perspectives wrong. I was looking at the wrong things. And I was trying to satisfy myself with lesser things and things that really could not satisfy you. And I've discovered, how about you, that only Jesus truly satisfies. Amen. The deepest longing of your heart. Amen. Amen. If you have Him, you've got everything, all right? So you don't have to covet anybody's stuff or compare yourself to anybody else. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I know the Joneses aren't here to defend themselves, but you don't have to keep up with anybody. Amen. You just need to obey the Lord and do what He's telling you to do. God may tell you to go to some remote country or some remote tribe and minister to those people. And it's going to require sacrifice of the temporal things, but you're living for eternity. You're building up and storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. Amen. That'll never fade or perish. So whatever we're doing in obedience to God, God will take care of that. Amen. He will reward you. He'll provide for you. Have you ever heard Lord's will, Lord's bill? Amen. Lord's will, Lord's bill. So if you're where God wants you to be, and I want to talk about this morning, about being in the right place and doing the right thing. You and I were created for a purpose. So the title is Created for a Purpose. In Colossians 1, verse 16, in case you're wondering if we're going to quote Scripture this morning. Colossians 1, 16, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Oh, there, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, these are these celestial beings, these spiritual beings, angelic hosts and different echelons or ranks of angels and created beings, spiritual beings. All things were created through Him and for Him. Well, in context, Colossians 1:16 is talking about who? Jesus, amen, as being the Creator. Now, Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And, of course, the King James says, and for thy, what? Pleasure. So you and I were created for God's pleasure, for His will and for His purpose. So the Lord, when He created man and He placed him in the garden, He was pleased. Amen? Man was given such privilege. It was a perfect environment. It was a paradise. The Eden, amen? It was a paradise. Man, Adam and Eve had access to everything. You know, they could eat all the fruit in the garden, all the herbs, everything that they had need of. I'm sure it must have been a lot better than the stuff even when we have, amen, a nice fruit stand around here. It's got to be a lot better than that, amen, because there was no corruption in the garden. Amen. It must have been an amazing place to be. Certainly the paradise of God. So they had everything going their way. Life was good in the zone of God, amen, in the place where they were supposed to be. And you know, life would remain good for them as long as they stayed within the boundaries that God had placed in their life. Come on, somebody. Today, it's no different. Life is good for you when you stay within the bounds that God places for you. God has given us instructions. He's given us His Word. Amen. He knows the product because He created it. And He knows what works. And we need to trust Him and obey Him, understanding that God is wiser than we are because He's the Creator and we're the creation. We're not even in the same league. Can you say amen? So most of us will acknowledge that, yes, God created all things. But when we hear that we were created for Him, well, sometimes that's where that part of us that's in us that rebels against God has to be taken authority over. Because I want to do it my way. That's human nature apart from Christ. Amen. We're self-centered. We, because of the fall, have become very narcissistic in nature. Has anybody beside myself lived a selfish life before? Do you still struggle sometimes with selfishness? Yes. That's that part of us. See, that's really in rebellion. The part of us that says, it's okay for me to live independent of God. See, this is what Satan tempted Eve with. He says, you don't need to submit to God. You can be as God. You don't need God. You can live independent of God. You don't need to obey His voice. God doesn't really mean what He says. And the King James says, yea, hath God said. Did God really mean what He said? God's cheating. God's holding out on you. Here they are in paradise, a perfect environment. I mean, and the devil wants to tempt them to believe that somehow God's not being good to them. And that God can't be trusted, that God doesn't really keep His word, that He doesn't mean what He said. And when He warned them, He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. They began to reason in their hearts, well, did God really mean what He said? Are the consequences of sin really death? You see, a lot of times we're deceived because we think that, well, because nothing happened immediately, nothing happened right away, that maybe it's not all that bad. Maybe God's up there saying, oh, no big deal. Everybody else does it. What they didn't understand is that the one they were listening to was the one who was going to then dominate them and usurp their authority and make them subjugated to him and become slaves, amen, to Lucifer. And from then on, life would be difficult. Life would be harsh. Life would be painful. Because their fellowship with God was broken, and the paradise that they enjoyed, they could no longer exist in because sin had separated them. They had broken the law of God. They had committed treason against the King of Heaven, if you will. And now they find themselves separated. And the first thing that happens, of course, is now they feel guilty. They feel ashamed. And just like you and I, when we do something wrong, a lot of times we feel guilty or ashamed. And what do we want to do? We want to go and hide. How many know you can't hide from God? How many know that the truth is independence from God always leads to bondage? This is the problem. Jesus says you need to reconnect to God. You need to reconnect to me. I am the true vine. Amen. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, what? In the vine. And that word abide means to continue, to stay connected, to dwell there, connected to Christ. And you cannot get roots deep enough to sustain you until you stay rooted in Him, connected in Him, until you become stable. And many people think they have an emotional experience, or maybe God touches their life, and they think, well, from now on, I'm going to be fine, and I can do my own thing, and God's going to save me and take me to heaven. They don't realize they're not even in, really in yet. They don't have their roots yet. And so the first thing that happens is the enemy comes along and he hits them with something. Maybe it's persecution or opposition or a difficult time in their life. And because they don't have roots deep enough, they don't stand. Has anybody beside myself been there before? So what the Lord is trying to tell us is we need to be reconnected. Amen? And we need to remain, to abide, to continue. To draw, amen, from Him who alone can keep you unto the end. Oh yeah, I got baptized when I was 8 years old in the Lutheran church, and so I've got my name on the roll there. So someday when I die, the priest will come and pray me out of purgatory, whatever it is they do today, I don't know. How many know that that's not salvation? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There's a transformation that takes place internally that produces good fruit externally in your life. And we need to abide in Him who alone can supply to us the grace we need to bear the good fruit that glorifies the Father. Abiding in the vine is key. You and I, God created with purpose. When He created Adam and Eve, He gave them an assignment, didn't He? It says in Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, or to cultivate it and keep it. So God placed Adam in the garden. He gave him a dominion, didn't He? He gave him an assignment there. And as long as Adam remained under the authority of God, had obeyed the law, the rule of the garden, and there was really only one, wasn't there? One commandment, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the test for loyalty. As long as he stayed under the authority of God, in the place that God had put him, and in the assignment God gave him, life was good. There's three things there, guys. We've got to understand that we need to be where God puts us. Amen? Amen? And we need to remain under His authority. And we need to stay in the assignment God gives us. Sometimes we try to get ourselves into something that God hasn't called us to. We try. I'm at it beside myself. I've tried all kinds of stuff. Trying to navigate and figure out who I am and where I fit and what works for me, what doesn't. So we can get into all kinds of mischief as we're growing up in God and trying to discover who we are and where we fit. And we've got to have some patience for that. And God does too. He understands we're just children, amen, and that we're growing and we're exploring and trying new things and trying to discover who we are in Him and who He is in us. And so it's very important, though, that we do come to an understanding and a knowledge of what the will of God is for our lives. Otherwise, we end up spending ourselves foolishly, wasting the opportunities that God has given us in this temporal life. Come on. And not bearing fruit unto eternal life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about bearing fruit unto eternal life. I'm talking about living for the purpose of God in His kingdom. So Adam and Eve had perfect liberty. They can enjoy the creation. Man, it was harmony. You know, even the animal kingdom was at peace. You know, they weren't eating each other. You didn't have to worry about lions, you know, in the garden. Eating man, right? Or polar bears. I don't think it was too cold there anyways, but I don't know. I don't think a polar bear would be... He'd have a very thin coat if he was there, right? Yeah. But you see how the whole kingdom, everything was in harmony. There was perfect harmony where under the authority, under the rule of God. How many know God's word is our authority? We're to keep ourselves under the authority of God by keeping ourselves under the word of God. Obedience to the spirit of the life of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The spirit of the Lord. But once they decided that I can do my own thing. I can do it my way. I can live independent. And I can become my own God. How many know that the dysfunction that we see in society, in our world today, and even in our own lives, is always due to rebellion and not willing to submit ourselves to God? But to live independent of God always leads to bondage. What was a promise of freedom was actually a trap. How many here have fallen into a few traps along the way? What you thought was going to make you feel good or make you free ended up becoming bondage. Oh, I used to like to get high. You know, start out, we're just going to party a little bit here with the boys, you know, and next thing you know, that thing's got me. Oh, I can control this. Same thing with drinking. I'm not an alcoholic. I could quit if I wanted to. I just didn't. God had to set me free from that. Because what started out as just having a little fun turned into a problem, a big problem that was causing all kinds of problems within my family, my young family at that time. And I don't want to get into all the details of that, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The thing that was promised to you to make you feel good or to have, you know, to bring you, give you liberty. I'm free. Led you into great bondage. The devil just simply wants you and I to listen to him. Just listen to me, he says. Don't believe all that Bible stuff. You pick and choose what you like in the Bible to obey. Because he knows there's enough there, if you decide to just pick and choose what you're going to obey, that he's going to hook you, amen, in the areas of your rebellion, and he's going to keep you captive, and even though you may seem to be doing good over here, this other thing that you're not letting go of is keeping you back. It's bogging you down. It's hindering you in your walk. And it's robbing you of your joy. There was no sin, there was no curse, there was no sorrow in the garden. Life was good. Why did Jesus go to the cross? What was the main purpose of the cross? See, a lot of times people will say, well, the purpose of the cross was so that, you know, I can have soul insurance. Well, yes. You know, well, so that all my needs could be met. So I could just have health and wealth. How many know that's not the purpose of the cross? God rescued us from a devil's hell. God saved you and I because we couldn't save ourselves. We were in big trouble. And so Jesus Christ, in His love and mercy, laid down His life on our behalf to give Himself on our behalf to set us free from the trap that we are in, that we could never escape from. We could never do enough good to get out of that place we're in. God Himself, in His mercy, gave His only begotten Son to become the sacrifice for our sins so that we could be set free from the debtor's prison and that we could live in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And as long as we keep ourselves under the authority of God and obey the Spirit of God, we have life and peace in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're not back under bondage again. The devil simply wants you to listen to him again and start obeying him again. Are you hearing me, somebody? The devil wants to question the things that you read and hear, amen, from the Word of God and says, well, did God really mean that? I don't think that interpretation is quite right. All you got to do is put a little twist on that scripture and you can make it say whatever you want. All you got to do is avoid that other scripture that precedes it or follows it. And you can make it say whatever you want. And so what he wants to do is get us to compromise the Word of God, the truth, so he can keep us in bondage. Why? Because it's the truth that sets you and makes you and keeps you free. So we've got to embrace the truth and say, God, thank you. It's not always fun. It's not always pleasant immediately. But we know that the Word of God is good for us. We embrace it. We embrace truth because we embrace Him who is truth, Jesus Christ. The main purpose of the cross was to bring us back into fellowship with God, to reconcile us back to God. The main purpose was to bring us back under our Father's roof, back under His authority. The main purpose was to restore us back to our original purpose. God wants to restore man back to his original purpose. What was that? Fellowship with God, walking with God. Enjoying fellowship. Adam walked with God, amen, in the cool of the day. Amen. He walked together. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. Hallelujah. The cross was for you and I to be brought back, amen, into right standing with God. To no longer have to live in shame, fear, condemnation, guilt. God wants to break all those shackles, all those chains off you and bring you into perfect harmony. Amen? And that's why we want to listen to God, because when we listen to God, there's life and peace in the Spirit. Anytime we decide that we don't need to listen to God, we're going to do it our way or we're going to adjust things to fit our own lifestyle, we lose peace with God. We lose joy. We lose strength. See, the purpose of the cross was not so that I could add God to my life. Some people think that Jesus is simply an add-on to their life. Come on, somebody. Well, I just do my own thing and ask Jesus to come along for the ride. He's Lord. He is Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. Amen. You can't add God to your life. He needs to become your life. He needs to become your all in all. He needs to become Lord and Master of your life. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If you're not obeying the voice of God, He's not your Lord. You're your own God. Oh, that makes people angry to hear that. But see, that's the very part of us that needs to die. That part that gets angry at the truth. Because that's the rebellion in my own heart that says, I don't want to listen to God. I'm going to do it my way. God's not fair. God's trying to take away my fun. God's trying to restrict me. That's what the devil's saying. God's trying to restrict you. You don't need to listen to him. You don't need to obey him. You can live independent of God and you can be your own God. Look around at the world today. That's the problem, is people are trying to live independent of their Creator, and what a mess we're in. And the only solution is to be reconciled back to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The only way to the Father is through Jesus the Son. Oh, you're a narrow-minded bigot to believe that. Well, narrow is the way, right? That leads to life, and there's few that find it. There is no other way. And I have found life and peace in the Lord. I've found joy in the Lord. I've found fulfillment. I've found satisfaction in the Lord that I could not find anywhere in the world, and all the stuff and all the entrapments and all the enticements and all the things that the enemy had tried to bait me and lure me with. None of those things satisfied. After a while, I got sick and tired of it all. And I say, is this all there is to life? Even those who are the wealthiest among us, some of them are just, there's more suicide among the rich. Because they realize, oh, what was supposed to make me happy doesn't. What is missing? That's right. Jesus. God wants to bring us back under His government. And the reason why the gospel of the cross is offensive to natural man is because natural man wants to live independent of God. And the cross says, I need to be crucified with Christ. I need to die to myself. I need to be done with my life, done with my ways, done with my foolishness, trying to live independent of God. I was created for Him and by Him. And for His pleasure, we were created. And you'll find your pleasure in relationship with God. You'll find joy in the presence of the Lord. You find peace that passes all understanding in the presence of the Lord. You'll find everything you need in Christ, in the Lord. Turn to Him. Call on Him. Believe Him. Listen to Him. He knows better. He created us. The manufacturer knows the product. Amen. He knows it works. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. See, naturally, you and I were born darkened without much understanding. And you can't really know truth except it be revealed to you by the Spirit of truth. The Lord has to reveal it to you. That's why we have so many opinions in the body of Christ, even. I wouldn't say the body, but in churchdom. Amen. In religious circles, you got a lot of opinions. Well, you may see it that way, but I see it that way. I see it this way. Well, how many know there is only one way? And that's God's way. And you can't know God's way without God's Spirit revealing to you what is true. But when you are of the truth and you embrace the truth and you love the truth, when you hear the truth, you say, amen, that is true. When Jesus came and He spoke to the Pharisees, the religious leaders and the ones teaching the law, supposedly representing God, He spoke the truth to them, and inside they were disagreeing with the council. They're saying, no, not going to have that. This man doesn't know what he's talking about. They didn't want to admit that they didn't know. They didn't want to humble themselves and say, I've been wrong. They didn't want to confess the fact that they were separated from God and didn't have all the answers and couldn't know the answers except they'd be revealed. Some of the Pharisees believed on the Lord. Did you know that? But many of them rejected the counsel of God. And because of that, they remained in their sin and they remained darkened and alienated from God. And the only way you and I can have the blinders removed from our spiritual eyes, amen, and begin to know what is true is to repent, to humble ourselves and admit that I don't know it all. And I need to learn and I need to grow and I need to submit myself to the authority of God's word, because that's the safest place for me to be, is under the authority of God, to be in the place God put me. Amen. And doing the will of Him who sent me. Amen. Those three things. We need to be where He calls us to be and doing what He calls us to do. Adam, amen, was placed in the garden to tend it. God Himself placed him there. As long as he was under the authority of his Father, life was good. He was in paradise. There was no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death. But as soon as man decides to live independent of God, here's where the problem comes in, doesn't it? See, there's a self-serving gospel today. What it does is it exalts the self-life above the rule of God. In other words, I'm my own God. Oh, I may go to church. I may sing the songs and I may even tell people I'm a Christian. I know a Christian is one who follows Jesus. I mean, it's not a name on a roll somewhere. It's not because you were baptized somewhere when you were a kid. Amen. A Christian is one who's been transformed by the power of God and made into a new creation, has received the new heart, the new nature. Amen. And a heart that now loves God and worships God and wants to follow God. And when you try to stray away from God because He's your Father, now He'll correct you and bring you back. And you say, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm getting right back here where I belong again. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, God doesn't want to be an add-on to our life. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life, a new beginning, a relationship with Him. And He wants to give you an inheritance in heaven that will never fade or perish. As you partner with Jesus and you walk with Jesus and you serve the Lord now, in denial of self now, amen, the day will come when the Lord will have you sit down in His kingdom. He said, I will gird myself and I will serve you. Wow. Wow. But you know, guys, I'm not looking for that. I'd probably be like Peter, oh no, Lord, I don't deserve you to have you wash my feet. Amen. But all I want to do is hear Jesus say, Lord, you know, say to me, well done. Amen. Amen. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, Brother Danny, he got that commendation. I'm fully confident. He demonstrated unselfishness. The way to abundant life is replacing my old self life with a new life in Christ, a new purpose. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? Life. And life what? More abundantly. Yeah. So where is that life? That life is in the vine. That life is in Christ. That life is in the will, the purpose of God. Abiding, continuing, enduring to the end. A plant, amen, that does not continue to drink, amen, and does not remain where it's planted, you know, in the soil that is going to nourish and strengthen it, will eventually fade. It will eventually wither and fall away. How many here know people in your life that at one time were so on fire for God, it seemed like? They were so strong in the Lord, you didn't think anything would ever shake them. And then you say, well, where are they today? What happened? Can I suggest to you that this is the problem? Is that they did not continue to abide. They did not continue to remain in the Lord. They did not continue to pray, to seek the Lord, and they did not continue to listen to His counsel. Somehow the enemy got in there and convinced them that it's not that important that they have fellowship with other believers, that they go to church. It's not that important that they obey the will of God for their lives. It's not that important that they do what God tells them to do and that they avoid what God tells them to avoid. The enemy says, no, you don't need to be that carried away about these things. You can just pick and choose what you want to obey. Because you're your own God. How many here have worked for somebody before? Right? We've all worked for an employer. How many went to work one day and said, you know what? I don't really want to do that. I'll go ahead and do, yeah, I'll do that job, boss, but this one, nah, ain't doing it. Now, how is that going to work for you? Out! How much more should we submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, when it comes to obedience to what He's talking to us about and telling us to do? Amen. How many know that God's not giving you instruction because He's trying to make you miserable? God wants to bless your life, and He knows the only place to be blessed is abiding in Him, abiding in His Word, continuing to obey His voice, and then He will keep you refreshed in Him, revived in Him. He will fill you with His righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Life is good as long as you remain under His authority, under His roof, under His Word, and you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I repent of my rebellion and my picking and choosing how I'm going to obey You and when I'm going to obey You. Because independence from God, once again, always leads to bondage. Always. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. If you decide you want to be independent of God, that is your choice. But it'll lead you into bondage. God loves you. And so He's given us His love letter. He's given this love letter. He's given us His Word because He cares. And He wants us to know what works. The manufacturer has given us, amen. I know real men don't read the manuals, but you got to be reading this one, amen. And you need to be applying this one, amen. Hallelujah. So true freedom, guys, is being in my Father's house, staying connected to Jesus. Amen. It's under His authority, under His rule, His Word, and being in the place He's assigned me to be. All right? And doing what He tells me to do in that assignment. So God can give you an assignment, but then He gives you instructions in that assignment. He gives you direction. How many know the boss is always on the job? He's always there. He's given us His Holy Spirit so we can know the way. When we wake up in the morning, we say, okay, boss, what are we going to do today? Lord, how can we, and how can I partner with You today? And obeying the voice of God produces life. And life overflowing and abundant and free. And it produces joy in your heart. Even when there's suffering involved in obedience to God, God's joy overrides it. When the disciples were told not to speak any longer in the name of Jesus, well, they knew that they could not obey man, but they had to obey God who had called them and assigned them. And so as a result, they were taken and they were flogged. And when they released them after being beaten, and guys, this is not, these were severe beatings where they would tear you up. Your back would be tore open in some cases. They would flog people. And it says that they left out of that prison rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer stripes for Jesus' sake. The joy of the Lord overrode any of that. Oh. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He says He'll give us beauty for ashes. You've got to have ashes before you have beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. You've got to have mourning before the oil of joy comes. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Cast off those grave clothes. Get out of death and come into life. Submit yourself to God and to His Word. Amen. Surrender. Yield to Jesus Christ. Allow Him to be Lord. Maybe you've been away from the Lord. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're just not where you need to be today. Today is the day for you to say, God, thank you for that attitude adjustment today. Thank you for recalibrating my life. I want to walk with you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Lord, I want to abide in you. I want to continue to abide under your authority. I want to remain under your roof. Amen. And I want to be in the place you've called me to be. And I want to do the thing you've called me to do. And hallelujah, as long as you abide there, life is good. As long as Adam and Eve had continued in the place of their assignment, amen, under the authority of the Father, life was good. As soon as they decided that I'm going to go do my own thing and they wanted to be independent of God's rule, life became horrible. Are you hearing me, somebody? And now when I say life is good, it doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But what it does mean is that God's joy will be greater than that. God's strength will be greater than your weakness. That God will, the joy of the Lord will be your strength, brother. That's right. Thank you, Father. So did you enjoy this today? If you enjoyed it, it's because you love Jesus and you love His Word. You love truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And that part of you that didn't enjoy it, well, that's what needs to be crucified with Christ. Amen. Put to death and say, I'm not going to listen to that other part of me. I'm not going to listen to that old man. I'm not going to resurrect him. I'm going to keep him down. I'm going to put him to death daily. Amen. I'm going to ignore him and reject listening to that other voice that would tell me to do something independent of what I know is right by God. Hallelujah. You know, you've heard it said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. So I need to live and abide, amen, under His rule. Because do you know that God enjoyed Adam and Eve? Did you know that? They enjoyed fellowship and they enjoyed the Lord. They could walk together with Him. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and I. He wants to restore us to that joy, amen, of fellowship with Him. Having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer living in guilt and shame and condemnation. But abiding in that place with Him where the life of God is flowing in and out of us. We're a well-watered garden. We're bearing all kinds of good fruit, amen, as we are representing Christ in this world and He's watching, amen, and He's empowering and enabling us to do impossible things by the grace of God. You know, when God commands us to do something, sometimes it's beyond what we can do naturally. We're saying, man, I can't do this, and that's right. You can't, but you can through Christ who enables you to do it. So you got to get close to God, abide, connect, reconnect with God. Can I get everybody to stand this morning? You're saying, I was hoping you would say that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. I want to challenge you today to recommit yourself to the Lord. Amen. Recommit your life. And to reconnect to the vine. And I want to encourage you to continue, all right? You need to have discipline. You need to deny that part of you that wants to ignore or disobey the Word of God. And you need to discipline yourself to do what God is telling you to do, regardless of how you feel about it. But you need to continue to abide in Jesus, because if you do not continue to stay connected to God, even though you may be doing well today and you may walk out of here strong today, if you don't continue in the Lord in your daily life, you can be broken off. You can lose what you had. Hold fast that what you have, that no man takes your crown. Stay connected. Guys, let me encourage you to be a glutton for God's presence. Be a glutton for the Word. Be a glutton for worship. Amen? Get saturated. Get connected to Jesus. Reconnect. If you need to fast, fast. But fast and pray. Seek the Lord. Get reconnected to God. Amen? And begin to listen to what He's given you instruction about. Amen? Because that's where you're going to find your satisfaction, is in the purpose of God for your life. God has placed you, amen, where you're at for whatever reason. But do you know the reason? God wants to reveal to you the reason. The reason why you're here, why you exist, why you're on this planet. God alone has that answer. But you're going to have to abide in Him, continue in Him, and seek Him. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. So I'm asking you today to make a decision. Let this be a beginning point for you once again. Maybe just a recalibration. Just getting back to where you once were. So I want to ask you to just to lift your hands towards the Lord, towards heaven. This is biblical to do that, by the way. Amen. Just lift your hands. Hallelujah. I want you to just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to reconnect me to you. Lord, I want to continue in you. I want to abide in you. I want your life in me. I want you to straighten me out. Make every crooked place straight. Lord, forgive me for my rebellion and not doing your will and putting my things before yours. Lord, straighten me out and put me in a right path. Lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I recommit my life to you. Lord, I ask you to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give me holy passion to live for you, to honor you in everything I do, everything I say. Jesus, I want to live for you. So I ask you to live in me. Blot out my transgressions. Purge my iniquities. Wash me from all sin. Make me holy and light me up for you. Set my heart ablaze with holy passion for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Stay connected to the body. Stay connected to church. Amen. Fellowship. Stay connected to one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't have to be here, but stay connected. Amen. But when we gather together, God wants us here. How many know? I mentioned it earlier that when we came, you know, some of us probably had other ideas. Maybe you had other thoughts come in before you even came today. We got to understand that the devil is very busy distracting us and presenting lesser things. Amen. And so you decided that I'm going to come to church. I need to be here. And you obeyed the Lord in doing so. And as a result, you receive the benefit of obedience today. Are you hearing me, somebody? Amen. We need to live this way. We need to practice this daily. It's not just about coming to church. It's about every day, amen, living for Jesus, walking with Jesus and obeying His voice and allowing God to use you and I as a vessel. God wants to work through you. God wants to speak through you. God wants to touch through you, those around you. But you've got to be abiding in Him. You've got to stay connected to Him in order to be that vessel. How many know that God is not a respecter of persons? He's saying He's looking for yielded vessels. He's looking for someone that'll say, Lord, here am I. I'm a vessel. I'm available. Amen. You can't let husbands, wives, family, anybody else interfere with what God is telling you to do. Are you hearing me, somebody? You can't love your wife more, your husband more. You want to love Jesus more. Love Him bestest. He's so good. He's so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God loves you. He allows us to hear these things because He cares. When we instruct our kids, right, we instruct them because we care. They don't always like what they're hearing, but they don't stop us from telling them what they need to hear. Amen. The Lord has to deal with me as well. The Lord has to speak to my life. The Lord has to bring correction to me as well. Amen. But because I'm His son, He corrects those who He loves. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I want to be on fire for Jesus. I mean, I want to burn for Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be a flash in the pan. I don't want to be a bottle rocket Christian. Amen. I want to be on fire for Jesus. And I want to abide in Him. As long as you stay connected, be disciplined in your life. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Be in fellowship. Connect. Stay connected. Amen. Even when it hurts, stay connected. And as you do that, you're going to get stronger and stronger. Your roots will go deeper and deeper. And then when the storms of life hit you, you're not going to be blown away. You're going to be able to endure it. So many young people, they come to the Lord, and even older people, they come to the Lord, and yet they don't continue to abide. We've had many people come and get baptized. After they get baptized, we don't see them again. What happened? They didn't get their roots. They didn't continue. They didn't abide. And because of that, they were taken out. He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. God help us. We want to live for You. Burn in me, Lord. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Light me up for You, Jesus. Keep me alive, Lord. Keep me close to You. I want You to be the center of my life, the center of it all. Because apart from You, we can do nothing. Hallelujah.